Boy, it'd be an awful thing to come to church, have a whole worship service, and never had the Lord show up.
Yeah.
Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in His name, there will I be in the midst. And so it's good, again, to gather in His name. And I don't know if you've ever done this. Sometimes, Bertie and I, when we was out at Huber Heights, I think it was, we got so busy doing Sunday school and kids programs and junior church programs that we come home from church and sit down and say, wow, did we worship today? And sometimes, unfortunately, the answer to that was we get so caught up in things that need to be done that we don't get our worship done. And so let's today learn to prepare our hearts for worship and to, again, look forward to a time when we can gather with other believers and just worship our God. It's amazing how many times it says in the Bible that we are to bless God, we are to worship God, we are to praise God. And when we gather together with other believers on a Sunday morning, the day, resurrection morning, again, we want to make sure our hearts are right, we're prayed up. We spent some time in the morning again preparing for worship. And boy, I want to encourage you to do that and make that part of your routine. It's easy sometimes for us to look around and look at all the people that aren't here and lose track. Maybe that's just a pastor thing. Lose track, again, of the fact that we're here for a purpose. And the purpose is to lift up our God, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and to worship Him together with other believers. And so let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts in chapter 14. Book of Acts in chapter 14. This doesn't really fit so much in any of my outlines for our hunt for the last October, per se. But it is pertinent again. This is what we're looking at here today is jumping back to, I read a book this week that said something to the fact that if you haven't studied out Paul's missionary journeys, if you're a pastor who hasn't studied out Paul's missionary journeys, you're not worth your salt. So I said, whoa, I don't want that to be true. And the fact is, I've seen maps of the journeys, even from Sunday school all my life, but I've never really walked through each of the scriptures talking again and examining Paul's missionary journey. So I started doing that week, and it was a tremendous blessing. And so I'd just like to share a little of that with you. It's curious that we think that Paul's day was different than our day. No, we think our day is different than Paul's day was. But I like to say that Paul preached all through the 60s. Okay? And so to understand that, again, is to understand that, hey, things were the same then as we can find pockets of. When we looked at in Revelation, seven messages to seven churches, there was seven churches given there, and each of them had their own little personality, their own problems, their own things they were dealing with. And God orchestrated those seven messages to seven churches to portray periods of time that the church would go through. Not the church with a capital C, the church as the ecclesia, the called out body of believers. And so as they went through those things, we could see that, we say that we're in the Laodicean church age. Understand that there were churches right there in Asia Minor that were presently going through each of those descriptions that's given in those seven messages. And so we don't think, again, that God skipped a beat there again to pick out those churches and give the messages to the churches in the order that church history would unfold. And it's a marvelous portrayal of things. And so as we look at that, understand that Paul, ministering to those churches in Asia Minor, was running into things that you and I are going to find very common in our day and age, because it's common in mankind. And so we're going to pick up in the middle of Paul's first missionary journey and look at some events here from Acts and chapter 14. I hope it'd be a blessing to you. I know it was to me, to understand that we've still got a mission, no matter what the world's doing, no matter the direction, even of our own nation. Again, with persecution just around the corner, and yea, persecution already present. Millions of believers were slain during what's called the Dark Ages, and they were slain not by the heathen, not by the devil worshippers. They were slain by people who thought themselves Christian, and they were Catholic, called the Universal Church themselves. And they killed millions of Christians. But just in our days here alone, with the rise of Muslims, with the taking over of Muslim countries, with the persecutions that's going on presently right now against churches, the little church I preached to in Pakistan for years over the internet was destroyed and disbanded when Pakistan fell under horrible persecution of the Muslims. And so again, to understand that, hey, there's been that many, again, millions of Christians killed, martyred for the cause of Christ in our lifetime here. And so it's curious, again, to understand that, hey, through it all, we're to name the name of Christ no matter the cost. And so let's go ahead and look at the situation of Paul on his first a missionary journey. And for the reading of God's word, if you would, let's stand and let me just read a couple verses of introduction out of Acts chapter 14, and we'll look at some things applicable to Barry Law. Don't you hate it when a plan blows up in your face? All right. Acts chapter 14. I'll try to remember everything I said because I didn't get it on a recording. The Bible says this, and it came to pass in Iconium, we can find that on a map, it's in the lower part of Asia Minor, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, and therefore, a bold day, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the regions that lieth round about. Look at verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant, Paul. And as we glimpse into some of his history here, help us to understand that it's your story. And it's for us here again to learn and to grow, even from the recordings in your holy scriptures. I pray again that you'd encourage our hearts as we live in a day and age when the gospel's not much heard, the gospel's not much preached. But Father, we need to be preachers of the gospel because you've commissioned us for that. And we'll praise you now and thank you for encouraging hearts in you in this message. In the name of Christ, amen, amen. You may be seated. And I appreciate again the first journey of Paul. If you could imagine the trepidation, if you could imagine again first occurrences here of the going around into the world to preach the gospel and to plant churches. Turn with me to back to one chapter there. Chapter 13 says, now, Acts chapter 13, verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called, we're told to pronounce that word, Niger, okay, and Lysias of Cyrene and Menenon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And so they separated Paul and Barnabas, and they started on a journey. They left there, the church of Antioch, went down to the port, and they sailed from there to the island called Cyprus. And they preached in Cyprus. Things didn't go well there, okay? And we can pick that up by looking at the last portion of chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. We used to sing a song, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." That's a theme, and it ought to be, again, in this day and age that we live in. We're marching towards, what did they say, election day, what, 14 days away or something like that. We're marching towards an election in the United States of America, and things look very bleak to me, again, when I look at it. Things look, I can't believe that there's so many people that are wanting of the destruction of our Constitution, wanting of the destruction of our economy, wanting the destruction of our borders, wanting to bring down the United States of America. And there is a group that still wants to make it great. But again, to understand here that we're divided, it's never been more divided than it is right now. And it is divided along godly or ungodly lines. There's not a single plank in the platform of the Democratic Party that doesn't rebel against the Word of God, period. None. And so everything that they want, again, I shouldn't say this, but I can't help it. There was a Catholic dinner this week, some of you may have seen some of it, and Donald Trump was asked a couple things. He was asked to speak, but at this dinner, it's all the politics set aside, and all the politicians in one room. And so there's Donald Trump, and let me give you two things that he said that I just had me rolling on the floor. One was, you're supposed to have a section where you give deprecating comments about yourself. And so Donald Trump says, I think we've reached the place where I'm supposed to give deprecating comments about myself. And he said, so here goes. And then there was a long pause, and he scratched his chin a little bit, and he said, I can't think of a thing. And then he looked down, and Chuckie Schumer sat right beside him on camera, and he said, our senator is looking rather gloomy today. So he tried to perk up and look a little better. And then Donald Trump said this. He said, when I defeat the woman who's trying to be the first woman president of the United States of America, he said, listen, the Democratic Party is so woke that Chuckie Schumer, you could run as a woman and be the first woman president of the United States. Brought the house down. And again, that's the state of where we're at. I mean, things are divided. There's no reconciliation. If anyone, to me, I look at anyone that's in middle ground and say, they don't understand the situation. And so We're in that place right now where we're at crossroads in our nation, and it's balanced 50-50 as near as we could tell, to either walk the devil's path or try and get back to some kind of make America godly again. And it's not looking well. And so in all of that, what are you to do? Well, we're to preach the gospel. We're to tell every creature. We're to be his witnesses. And so here, notice again that there was opposition. Every place that Paul went, there was great opposition. And notice again that after that first little jaunt, the first two cities of their missions trip, I'm kind of wimpy that way. I was just throwing up my hands and walked away. But look what they did again in verse 52. It says that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I put a note again in my head and in my Bible that one doesn't necessarily come without the other. I don't know which one always comes first. But listen, we need to be filled with joy. We need to have a joy. And if you're down in the Mully Grub because about the direction of a nation, if you're down in the Mully Grub because of a direction of our state, listen, that's no place for a Christian to be. We're to be full of joy. If you're down in the Mully Grubs about health, if you're down in the Mully Grubs again about finances, we're not to live there. We're to praise God and we're to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And sometimes that's good preaching. No, always that's good preaching. But listen, sometimes it's hard living when things stack up against us, when we're overwhelmed by the odds, when we can't keep up. We still need to be filled with joy. And so here they come into a new place. They leave Cyprus, and they sail across and come into this Iconium. And notice the first thing that happens here is they had many believe. Here when it says they came to the synagogue of the Jews, you know, remember in Acts in all the commissions we're told to preach the gospel to the Jew first and to the Gentile. The gospel is a power of salvation. Paul mentions it over and again, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so again, the Jews have a religious understanding. The Jews is the only religion that God created. The Jewish religion is the only religion that God created. Only one. How did that turn out? And so all other religions, I had a discussion with somebody, I forgot who it was, this week, that said, hey, I hate religions too. I'm not a religious person. I hate religions. Well, I do remember who it was now, so I ain't going to tell you, but I despise religion. There's no religion. All religions are man-made. And they're man-made usually to find a way to get into your wallet, but particularly so that they can control a path that they have you on to get you to heaven. If you do this and this and this and this, you'll go to heaven. And if you don't, you're not going to make it. And listen, that's religions of our world today. Someone says, oh, you're a very religious person. I say, oh, I try not to be. We don't want that type of that stain of religion. And notice here, both times when the persecution arose, where did it arise from? It arose from the religious side. It arose from the Jews, again, who were seeing, hey, our religion is breaking down here, and it's got this new thing that's coming and it's tearing us up. And so they're opposed to it. And so understand that even today in America, though Judaism is far gone, yea, even Catholicism, who people think is still Christian, even that's pretty much far gone as far as being a persecutor. They've lost their edge. But still, again, there's great persecutions and there's a hatred for the gospel. So let's look at this portion real quickly. The Jews, so spake, and a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. Thus are Jews and Gentiles. There were Greeks in the Jewish religion, However, they were normally called Grecian, and you can see that differentiation of Grecians back in Acts. There, when they separated deacons, they said there arose a contention about the Greek Jews, the Grecian Jews again. And that's talking about Jews, but they had a Greek ground. This here is the Jews and Gentiles were getting saved, praise the Lord. They believed. And then look at verse 2, it says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles to make their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Again, just stop here at this section of Scripture in the middle of, or the very beginning edge of Paul's journey. But what I have to mention, that this happened repeatedly. Every place he went, there was problems that arose, and there was persecutions that arose, and very often the Gentiles got stirred up and were just as much as the persecutors, and we know again that persecution rose from this point. It just kept getting worse and worse and larger in the churches. Look at verse 3. So when persecution came, what did they do? It says, long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. And listen, they were full of joy, and they were full of the Holy Spirit. They was never in the molly grubs, and they was never mumbling and complaining about where they were at. And so, consequently, they stuck it out. And so, when persecution arises, when America turns against Christianity and tries to make it the enemy in our society, understand, what are we to do? Go and hide someplace? No, stick it out and keep preaching. Keep, again, the fire in the message, and that's exactly what they did here. They abode a long time, and they spoke boldly. And sometimes we get a little remiss. I know sometimes I do. I know that if I bring up the gospel to certain people that I've already talked to, that I know what their reaction was last time, and I expect it's going to be again. And when I fall into that trap, it's because I suppose that God is not working on their hearts. Never suppose that. Just because you told the gospel to somebody once and they rejected it or scoffed and laughed, listen, that word that you gave them is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's been gnawing on their soul for days, and you and I have the ability to be consistent and stay at it and speak boldly, and we need to pursue that. Even to ones that we've talked to before, we need, again, a boldness to keep going at it. And don't be timid about this. The preaching of the gospel. Look at again at the rest of that verse. Which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders. I got a sidebar here that I go on and talk about signs and wonders. But I dare not, except that signs and wonders show up about 14 times. That little phrase, signs and wonders, shows up 14 times in your King James Bible. And all of them are pertinent. Let me go ahead and read a couple out of the New Testament. It says, false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And so again, during the last days, during our days, there are signs and wonders movements where people howl like dogs and fall and wiggle around on the floor. Get smitten ahead by the Holy Spirit, they say. And listen, there's false teachers today. Beverly and I had the privilege to go to Haiti, and that was an eye-opening experience back in, I forgot what decade it was, back in the last century we went to Haiti anyway. And boy, we saw some things there that a Christian ought to see, to be aware that the devil is real. We talked a little bit Wednesday night about demon possession and the fact that we don't see much of that in the United States, brazenly, and call that, but you do in some countries again. And you see the power of the devil. We mentioned Wednesday again that the devil had power back in Egypt to rehearse all the miracles that God did. The devil had power to do that too. So don't be dismissive of the signs and wonders movement of today. And understand this. That's not what's in this verse. Let me give you another one out of the signs and wonders. At Romans 15:19 says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about all Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so Christ, here in this time, in this beginning of the gospel, this first stab into all the world by missionary Paul and Barnabas, God set signs and wonders. Don't be afraid of them, but understand, and we could, if we had time, read this one here. Don't be afraid of them, but understand this, that your salvation is a sign and wonder. And the more you think about it, the more it's a wonder. The fact that God saved you, gave you eternal life, sealed you, and caused again that you're in the hand of Christ, and neither height nor depth nor... Help me out, Jackie. Yeah, the whole list of them that you're... Listen, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Praise the Lord. As we don't understand that, but as we live in that, again, understand this, that's a sign and wonder. Your consistency is a sign and wonder. The fact that you're not home right now tells your neighbors that where you are, unless they're garage door neighbors and you don't know anything about them. But again, understand that, hey, we see signs and wonders, but not the miracles, again, that the apostles saw, because they were apostles. Always remember that, and don't be afraid of that phrase here in the Bible, but understand that it's misused by this world. And it was misused in Haiti. I mean, signs and wonders there were done with miracles done, notable miracles, visible, undeniable, done by Satan himself. And so here, notice again that we have the signs and wonders done by their hands, but the multitude of the city was divided. And so again, the gospel always divides. Put it down, the gospel divides. It's a divisive thing. Remember Jesus said, I came not to bring peace on earth, but I came to bring divisions. And he goes down through a whole list of them about family members divided. And so again, understand that, hey, the gospel still divides. There's still going to be people that are offended by the word of God. And again, only by prayer and supplication goeth this kind out, that we again need to be fervent in our prayer life. You perhaps have a loved one, a neighbor, a kin that you've witnessed to that again needs to be saved, and you know it. Understand that it takes just what it said previous, or a persistence, a staying at. Let me jump down to our last verse there. It says this, verse 7, and they preached. And there they preached the gospel. So God moved them around here. He moved them through the cities there of that little area, Lysonia. And so they went to Iconium and then departed from there and went to Derbe and then went to Lystra. All these are little towns there in the area. So notice again, that we do have verse 8, let me mention that. And there was sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent to his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And so let me just give you the condensed version here real quickly. After he did that, they said, whoa, look at this guy. Now remember, they were in a pagan society. They were in a heathen country. And here they did this notable miracle. More about signs and wonders that we could give, particularly the signs of tongues as it's given. And I have another sidebar that I should go through some of that. But tongues was only given to show the Jews. Tongues was given to show the Jews, the reception of salvation, that God was all done with their God-set religion, and now they were under a new covenant, a new relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ, And so tongues was a sign of given. And so it was given at Pentecost to the Jews. It was given on the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 when Peter went to the Gentiles and for the Jews' sake that they could be convinced that the Holy Spirit of God now came to Gentiles. It was in Acts 10. And then it was at Ephesus. Certain disciples that only had John's repentance and they had not the baptism of Jesus Christ nor the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God in Acts chapter 19. And so there they spoke in tongues. Three times. That's it. That's it. Three times. That's it. The signs of tongues given was given for the Jews in those three instances. And so, again, we see a lot of that going on in religious circles today. And let me emphasize that those are religious circles. They're not Bible circles, okay? So when we understand those things, it's good. But here, again, this was a notable miracle that was given. Remember when Acts chapter 2 and 3, when Peter preached, like, were you there? Kind of remember? No, you probably weren't there. But in Acts chapter 2, what is it, Acts chapter 7, I think it is, where Stephen gets stoned. Do you ever read the message that Stephen preached? And what is it? Even when Peter preached, what is it? It was to the Jews. And they had a long diatribe, I'm going to call it, of going through the whole history. I always thought Stephen was kind of stalling for time or something. But he walked through the whole history of Judaism. And here, notice again that he's in a pagan country, and he doesn't spend his time on the religious. He doesn't spend his time on a Jewish religion. Instead, look at his preaching here. When they wanted to make him God, him and Barnabas, they were going to set him up as God. And they came in to cause again that they would be worshipped and that they would do an offering even unto them. And so notice here again that as they did that, Paul again said this, hey, we're just men. Let me go ahead and say to you that I'm just man. Okay? I'm not clergy. I'm not a member of the clergy association. Refuse to join it, as any good Baptist would. Because we don't believe in clergy and laity. We don't believe that there's one group that's lifted up higher in order to, again, teach and understand the Bible, and the rest of us dumb people, again, we don't have a chance at that. No, that's not God's plan at all. In fact, he calls it a doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and he hates it. And so again, he put down that they here said, no, we're just men as you are. And some people, again, might get haughty and think I'm clergy. I have people that call me Reverend Rice, and that makes me nervous again. I have a couple that always greet me as Dr. Rice. And I guess I don't mind that so much because I did get a PhD. But hey, it's not a title of exaltation, nor is a reverend title meant to be sometimes. But again, there's no clergy and laity. We're all on the ground is level at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, here, when we're looking into the Word of God, again, you can see little pictures of that we're just men. Jesus told his disciples, call no man father. Don't be calling people father. Don't be bowing down to them nor worshiping them. Be careful of that. And so there's a lot of that that's going on in our society, and it's leaked out of Catholicism, where they call each other father. It's leaked into the Protestant, where they have clergy, laity, break. And so here, again, they're just men. And preach unto you that ye should turn from those vanities, I'm in verse 15, unto the living God which made heaven and earth, and the sea and all things that are therein. I like this message. I like, again, their approach here to the heathen nation, because their first step is not anything to do with Judaism. It's not anything to do with the law that was given. It's not anything to do with the sacrifice that's given. It's everything to do with the Creator. And listen, you and I, as we teach and preach and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a good example of a good starting ground. We need to start at creation, that we have a Creator. There's a few people that I talk to that want to argue about law and keeping the Ten Commandments or such. But again, most people are misled by the fact that they don't know anything about their Creator. I heard a testimony of a dignitary who said, I believe in God, but as is Jesus Christ, I don't know anything about Him. There's a lot of people who believe up here with their head, but they have no basis for Scripture nor understanding there. And we need to start someplace. And here, a creation, that we have a Creator. If you read Romans chapter 1, you find again that all man knows that they have a Creator. They know that. God does not believe in atheists. And if you run into one of them and tell them that, they'll get mad at you. So I don't advise that tact, but again, understand that God still doesn't believe in atheists. Notice again that he began with creation and he talked with them. Let's look at the rest of that message, saying, sirs, why do you these things? We are men of like passions of you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And these came thither certain Jews, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And so let's stop right here for a minute and say, how is this first missionary journey working out? How's Paul's launch into the world to preach the gospel to every creature? How's that working out? Listen, there's opposition, and there's denial, and there's rejection, and there's hatred. And here they've even taken him and stoned him on his first missionary journey. And so again, you and I need to be mindful of all that is going on in the world, and here particularly, all that went on in Paul's ministry. And then we can just throw up our arms and say, that's it, I quit. I've had enough. I ain't going to go do all that. No, we can't do that. We've just got to keep at it. We've just got to, again, keep. And remember that key thing that is we're filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Never forget what God saved you from. Never forget, again, that you have an eternal salvation that nobody can take away from you. And again, we are commissioned to go and to be his witnesses and talk about that. So as we continue on here, and I might do that in a whole series, the ministry of Paul on his two major missionary journeys, that again, the reception was not good, but Paul didn't quit. And there was always a few. Many times there were multitudes. We're not set right now probably in Dresden, New York, to see multitudes. But there will always be few. And again, we need to be his witnesses. No matter the results, no matter how dire our situation, we need to be his witnesses. We need, again, to see the gospel preached. And it will do the work. Be faithful, be consistent, be bold, and the Lord's promised again that he'll bless that. But listen, first off, be joyful. the world don't get much from a Christian who's been baptized in vinegar and runs around in molly grubs. So we want to be careful that we don't get there. I know sometimes it can be discouraging, but we need to be encouraged in the Lord. And we need to understand that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for the things that we could learn just by studying your word through the Acts of the Apostles. And especially here, this little portion that we looked at, as Paul again and Barnabas set out on a mission journey with great hopes and expectations. Father, this church has been here for 37 years again with great hopes and expectations. It's been faithful to you, and it's been faithful to your word, and we praise you for that. It's been a lighthouse, Father, that reaches into this world. Though, again, the blinders seem to be up, and we can't see a lot of response to the gospel. I pray, Father, that you'd have us to have a holy boldness with your words and with your way. Help each one of us this week as you bring us in contact with somebody, perhaps someone we've already been a witness to, that you'd give us another chance to talk to them about your Son, our Savior. May we again be quick to take that opportunity and to preach the gospel to every creature. Father, that we could put the ball in their court and let them know the decisions waiting on them. Father, that you give us the words to say and fill us with your Spirit as we would this day. Again, worship you and begin a week in worship of you and asking again for your help. Touch now in a special way. We thank you for the week that's before us. Thank you for the beauty of fall and your bounty that we do have in our lives. Pray again, Father, that we count our blessings and go out and speak of your Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and dismiss. 722, I think it is in our song book. It says this. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Lord, help me up a word.